We have been looking at the prophet Elisha, began a series a few weeks ago. We're going to continue that this morning as we look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, please open up to this passage. We are reading the holy, inspired, historical Word of God. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons, and as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Father, as we look at this passage of multiplication, of the miracle of the multiplication of the oil, just pray, Lord, that we would not have doubts in our minds regarding this passage, but may you set it in our hearts and minds that this truly happened. And it was for your glory and your honor and for your people. So set this into our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me begin by asking you a question. Have you ever felt as if you are at the end of your rope? You are in desperate straits. You have nowhere to turn. Perhaps you have been or you are in a financial crisis in which there appears to be no way out. There's no one to turn to. Perhaps you have lost your spouse. Things appear grim. Perhaps your marriage is on the rocks. Perhaps your job is hanging in the balance. Perhaps your children are totally out of control. What do you do in times of such despair? Where do you turn when it appears there is no hope? Where do you go when you're at the end of your rope? We're introduced in our text to a woman who indeed is at the end of her rope. Consider verse 1. "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.'" So here we see a woman. She's given no name. As far as we know, she never makes another appearance in the Bible. But we do know that she has been married to one of the sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets were a school of prophets who were sitting at the feet of Elisha, and they were learning to be defenders of the Orthodox faith. It is as if they are members of God's seminary, studying under the great prophet of Israel at this time. Elisha is the Old Testament professor. The sons of the prophets are his students. This woman's husband, of course, is well known to Elisha, and the husband has a reputation for having been a godly man. She says there he was one who feared Yahweh, who feared the Lord, who obeyed the Lord during this great time of apostasy. He certainly is one of the 7,000 mentioned in 1 Kings 19:18 that have not bowed the knee to Baal, have not kissed Baal. Her husband was a man of integrity and honor and orthodox faith. In any event, this son of the prophet has died, and he has left his wife and two children in debt to a creditor. Typical seminary student. In Israelite culture, if one cannot pay off a debt to another Hebrew, then one must work off the debt by means of indentured slavery. We read about this, for example, you have your Bibles in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 39 through 41. Leviticus 25, 39 through 41 says this, "If your brother..." Here's one Hebrew to another. "If your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you, you shall not make him serve as a slave. He shall be with you as a hired servant and as a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of the Jubilee. Then he shall go out from you, he and his children with him, and go back to his own clan and return to the possession of his fathers." In our story, the creditor has come to take the woman's two children and to place them into indentured slavery. They, the children, are to work off the debt. This widow is at the end of a rope. She is in a precarious situation. She has little recourse as a widow. She is in urgent need. She is in dire need. What is she to do? Well, clearly, in Israelite culture, she is in need of redemption. She is in need of redemption. In those days, Hebrew laws permitted a close relative, a person called a kinsman redeemer, to pay off the debt, to pay off the creditor so that his family member, the wife and the children, would not go into slavery. And in this way, the woman and her children would be delivered. They would be redeemed from their debt and from their slavery. She is in need of redemption. But there's a problem. There's a problem. Apparently, this widow had no kinsman redeemer. She had no close relative who would pay off the debt. She had no close relative who could pay off the debt. A.W. Pink, commenting on this widow, said, "A more pitiable and woeful object could scarcely be conceived. No one will perform the redemptive deed for her. She has just lost her husband, and now her children are going to be taken away by the creditor. And as we shall see, she has no material means. She has a house, but it's empty. She has nothing. She is at the end of her rope." So she comes to the prophet, Elisha, to the man of God. And note Elisha's response to her. Verse 2, "And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.'" So first observe that Elisha asked her what she has in her house. Does she have anything of value that she could sell to help pay off the debt? Does she have anything in her house that could help keep the creditor away. Now, of course, Elisha understands that this woman is in great mourning, is probably not thinking too straight. But the reality is, no, she has nothing. She is destitute. She has no goods. She has no furniture, just an empty house. She has nothing to sell for her redemption. She has nothing to sell for her deliverance. She has no goods. She has no redeemer. She has no husband. She has a creditor. Here is a widow with little earthly hope. She is at the end of her rope. What recourse does she have? She does, however, have one thing. Did you notice that at the end of verse 2? Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. It's interesting here. We normally think of jars as being something large, but the Hebrew word here for jar actually is better translated as flask. She merely has a small flask or juglet of oil. That's all that's left. She lost everything. Notice Elisha's instructions to her in verses 3 and 4. Then he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. So here in verse 3, Elisha commands the widow to go to her neighbors and to borrow empty vessels or large jars from her neighbors. In fact, the statement at the end of the verse, not too few, can actually mean not too small. In other words, she's to go and get a lot of jars, and they're to be big jars. This is a different word than what was used in verse 2. She said, I have a little flask. Elijah says, go and get large jars and many of them empty from your neighbors. Note, of course, she herself has no empty jars. She has no empty vessels. Her house is empty, and apparently all her jars are gone to pay off the creditor, or simply sold to provide food for her and her children. She doesn't even have pottery in her house. There is nothing there. Verse 4, Elisha continues with his instructions. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she is to take these large empty vessels into her house with her two sons, and she's to shut the door behind them. Now, the prophet's instructions are to be obeyed here. In detail and in private. Did you note that? Shut the door behind them. This is not to be an open demonstration of God's great miraculous power. This is not for show. That's not what's going on here. And indeed, we need to understand that God's work is often hidden. God's work is often in private. We frequently do not see His work with people until it's over. The movement of God is quiet and a still voice. As John Flavel once said, God's providence is like Hebrew, must be read backwards. Indeed, there's to be no pomp and circumstance with this miracle. That's not the purpose of it whatsoever. The woman, once enclosed in the house, is to pour oil from her little flask into these large vessels she had borrowed from her neighbors. And, of course, what's going to happen is a miraculous multiplication of the oil. The oil miraculously keeps on flowing. And when one of the jars is full, she is to put it to the side and then begin filling another one. Now, note how the woman responds. Verses 5 through 6. So, she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. Then the oil stopped flowing. The widow does exactly as Elisha had commanded her. And as her sons bring the vessels to her, she pours oil into them, and she pours more oil, and she pours more oil. It keeps flowing from the flask. The increase of the oil continues until the jars are full. And when the last jar is full, the oil stops flowing. There is no more oil, but what she has received is sufficient for her needs, and indeed beyond her needs. The conclusion of the story is found in verse 7. She came and told the man of God and said, and he said to her, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. When the miracle concludes, the widow comes to the prophet, tells him what has happened, and he tells her three things. First, she must go and sell the oil. Oil in Israel is a valuable commodity. It is like gold or silver or money. In these days, they didn't have cash. They didn't have money like we have. They traded in such things as oil and grapes and so forth. Oil, very difficult to get, a valuable commodity. Secondly, she is to take the money, pay off her debt. Here is the redemption. Here is the deliverance from her debt, from what she owes to the creditor. She will now be free from this obligation. Redemption, redemption, redemption. But then, though, thirdly, after she pays off her debt, she will have a sweet provision for the future. The end of verse 7 says, and you and your sons can live on the rest. She and her sons may live off the remainder of money after the debt is paid. And thus what we see here is not only has God through Elisha redeemed the widow, but he has lavished blessings upon her even beyond her request in verse 1. Remember what her request was. The creditor has come to take my children. Well, that's taken care of here. But even more is taken care of. What a gracious God we serve that he would lavish this oil upon this woman. This is a wonderful story, isn't it? This is a wonderful story of a destitute person who has a great debt, has a massive need. It is the story of Elisha the prophet who serves as the woman's kinsman redeemer. And he does that in a miraculous way, namely by multiplication of the oil. The prophet delivered her from the creditor. He saved her and her sons from slavery. This is an amazing act of the prophet. Here is the great prophet of Israel as redeemer and deliverer. We should be in awe of what we read in this passage. What an amazing provision. What an amazing miracle. What an amazing prophet. What an amazing redemption. But this morning, I want to announce to you that someone greater than Elisha has come. The great prophet has come. The Messiah has come. He is like Elisha as he performs wonderful miracles of multiplication. Let me just read one to you in John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." They filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Someone greater than Elisha has come. Not only multiplied the oil, but he transformed the very nature of the water into wine. Something greater than Elisha has come. He is also like Elisha in that he serves as kinsman redeemer. But the redemption he has brought is so much greater than that of Elisha. Someone greater than Elisha has come. And understand, we are the ones who are destitute. We are the ones in slavery to our sin. We have a great debt that we cannot pay. We have nothing in our house. We are in dire need of a Redeemer. We are the ones at the end of the rope. The Lord has cared for us in a great way by sending his Son to redeem us from our slavery to sin, our slavery to guilt, and our slavery to shame. Jesus has taken those very things and nailed them to the cross. Our great Redeemer has come. Someone greater than Elisha has come. Are you at the end of your rope? Are you in despair with no hope? I urge you to turn your life over to Christ. Surrender yourself to him. For only he is the great Redeemer, the great Deliverer, the great Provider. Hallelujah. Someone greater than Elisha has come. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, indeed we are amazed at the miracle of Elisha and what he has done. But Lord, may we be more amazed that the Messiah has come to redeem us, to take us out of our destitute state and bring us to glory with him. It's in Jesus' name that we now pray. Amen.